Radio St. Pete listeners, welcome to Well, Here's What I Think. Now, today I want to talk about a subject that I was asked about almost every year that I was mayor. And that subject is leadership and what it means to be a leader. Now, there's not one single definition for leadership and what it means to be a leader. Merriam-Webster's defines leadership as the act or instance of leading, and a leader as a person who has commanding authority or influence. Cambridge Dictionary defines leadership as, quote, the quality or ability that makes a person a leader, close quote, close quote. And it defines a leader as, quote, a person in control of a group, country, or situation, close quote. Now, while the Cambridge Dictionary defines a leader as the person in charge, Forbes notes that leadership has nothing to do with seniority or one's position in the hierarchy of a company. Forbes defines a leader as, quote, someone to look up to, who will guide, help, listen, and teach you, who will be there in difficult and good times while not being scared of learning from anyone as well, close quote. Now, when you Google the definition of leadership, it says that, quote, leadership is the process of influencing and guiding a group of people to achieve a common goal by providing direction, setting a vision, motivating others, fostering collaboration, and making decisions, close quote. So given the many definitions of leadership and the hundreds of examples where someone who might not previously have been recognized as a leader demonstrates leadership, in all of the instances when I was asked that question, how did I answer that question? Well, I think both Google and Forbes must have heard me answer that question before, because I've said that great leaders are able to motivate and foster collaboration. They are able to guide people, provide a strong sense of direction, set a vision for what they want to achieve and what they want their organization to achieve. And this one's important. Make decisions. As both Google and Forbes noted, being a leader or demonstrating leadership does not automatically happen simply because you're the CEO, company president, board chair, or even president of the United States, governor, or mayor. Many who have those titles are horrible leaders, and as bad leaders fail to demonstrate real leadership. Now, I've always believed that there are several traits found in most great leaders. Traits like integrity, empathy, self-awareness and the ability to laugh at oneself, confidence, the ability to communicate, the ability to listen, which quite frankly is as important, if not more important, than the ability to communicate, adaptability, resilience, and two of the most important traits, the ability to delegate and the ability to make a decision. Now, while I believe these are all important traits of a great leader, some leaders will never be great leaders because they are lacking in these traits. As an example, if you're not a person of integrity, how do you get people to believe you, to follow your directives? Now, I'm sure we can all think of people in positions of leadership who have questionable integrity. They lie, they mislead, and they're often lacking in character. They may have the title of being the leader, but the trait of integrity is not one they exhibit. Now, they may start out as leaders, but because of their lack of integrity, it doesn't take long before they lose their ability to lead. Great leaders don't typically think they are the smartest person in the room. They have a self-awareness of their strengths, but more importantly, of their weaknesses. They understand that to be a great leader, you must be willing to delegate, and you must surround yourself with smart, capable, talented people, people whose strengths fill the voids or weaknesses within the leader. Great leaders also understand that simply hiring smart, capable, talented people isn't enough. As a leader, if you aren't willing to delegate duties, to allow those smart, talented people to do their jobs, to not micromanage them, you will never get the best from them, and you'll get the worst from you. Now, I've known many people or I've known many in positions of leadership who've had difficulty delegating and allowing others to either do their jobs or to even help them. And as a leader, I don't care how smart you are, how hard you work. If you don't let people do their jobs, if you try to micromanage them, your company or your organization will never be as successful as it could have been. I always often asked, what was my management style? Was I a micromanager? And I always used to say the same thing. I don't need to micromanage my team. If I didn't have confidence that they could do the job I had hired them to do, I wouldn't have hired them. And once I hired them, my job was to get out of the way and let them do their job. Now, another important trait of a great leader is the ability to communicate effectively. As a leader, how can you expect those you lead to follow your directives if they don't understand what the hell you're asking them to do? Great leaders also see communication as a two-way street. And by that, I mean the communication goes both ways. Great leaders don't just want to hear what they already know. They want to hear and learn about what they don't know. I'm always amazed when I observe someone in a position of leadership who stifles opposing views. My guess is everyone listening knows of someone that's been in a leadership position that does exactly that. They surround themselves with yes men or yes women, people who will tell them that they are so smart, that their ideas are so great, even when they aren't and the ideas aren't. I used to tell the administrators on my team, don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. So how can you as a leader make the best decision if it's not a fully informed decision? If you're only getting told what people think you want to hear. If that's the only information you're receiving, it's information that you already know or what your staff thinks you want to hear, then the decision you make may end up being the wrong decision because it wasn't an informed decision. And speaking of decisions, I believe great leaders are great leaders because they aren't afraid to make a decision. I mean, how many times have you all been watching a meeting or at a meeting or even if it was an official at a football game and you're thinking, for God's sakes, just make a damn decision? So often leaders want to be liked or loved. Now, as human beings, I think we all want to be liked or loved. But as a leader, that's not necessarily your job. Because when you make a decision, invariably, someone isn't going to like that decision. And so if your goal as a leader is for everyone to like or to love you, you may wrongly think the best way to achieve that is to not make any decisions. That way you're not ticking someone off. But that's not being a great or even a good leader. And making a decision, and not making a decision, I mean, is not leadership. Great leaders gather as much information as possible before making a decision, and then they make their decisions, even in the face of criticism after they make it. But they also tell people why they made the decision they made. And one of the things I found during my 8 years as mayor is that even when I made decisions that people didn't agree with, they at least respected the fact that I made a decision. And because I explained the basis for the decision, they understood why I made the decision. Now, one of my favorite stories is I was at a groundbreaking event. And I had someone come up to me and they said, you know, during the entire time you were mayor, I had a hard time understanding sometimes some of the decisions you made. Now that you're out of office and I've seen what's happened with some of those decisions, I have a better understanding of why you made it. And I think that's true a lot of times is that, you know, if there's not a decision made, and if you don't explain the decision when you make it, people aren't going to understand. And sometimes it takes some time to understand. But again, making the decision and explaining why makes that process so much easier. Some leaders believe that those they're leading must be afraid of them in order for them to be effective. You've probably heard that comment. They lead by fear. They try and rule with an iron fist. I think that might work in the short term, but I don't think it ever works in the long term. You never get innovation if those who want to innovate are afraid of being criticized if they don't succeed. I used to meet with the new employees for the city before COVID. We used to have meetings. I'd have 20 new employees come in for new employee orientation. It was one of my favorite things I got to do when I was mayor. And part of the reason I liked it is I wanted them to know that in the city of St. Petersburg, if you're working for the city, we want you to be creative. We want you to be innovative. We actually baked that into our vision statement. That we would be an innovative, creative, and a competitive community. But it's important that the employees know that they should not be afraid to try something new. And so I told them that. I said, I want you to try something new because we can't be better as a city. We can't improve and be the best we can possibly be if you're afraid to try something new, something that might work out better than the way we were doing it. And the only thing I always used to say to them is, don't be afraid to try something new. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. But we need to admit it didn't work. We need to learn from the fact that what we tried didn't work so we don't make that same mistake again. And then jokingly, although I was serious, used to say, well, and hopefully it wasn't too inexpensive of a mistake. But others like me believe that you get the best out of people when they feel appreciated and respected. Now, my dad, when we moved to Florida, started his own business. And I can remember going out to dinners where he would invite all of his employees, every one of them, from the person who cleaned the facility up to his, you know, second in charge. And they could order whatever they wanted on the menu. And that was just one of the things my dad did to take care of his employees. And he always used to say to me, if you take care of the people who work for you, if you pay them well, if you treat them with respect, if you empower them to where they think they can be creative and be innovative and do their job and not be afraid you're looking over their shoulder, they're going to give you 110%. And it worked well for him. And it, quite frankly, it worked well for me. Now, the last trait of great leaders that I want to speak about today is empathy. As a leader, the people in your community, your organization, board, whatever, whomever it is that you are leading, they come from all walks of life and all have differing experiences and perceptions that shape their lives. But if you as a leader are unable or unwilling to understand their feelings, their thoughts, their experiences, why they behave or act the way they do, how can you build a connection with those you are leading? How can you appropriately respond to their actions if you don't understand where their actions are coming from? Look, leadership and being a great leader, it's not easy. If it was easier, there'd be a whole lot more leaders out there. But it's not easy. And again, if it was easy, so many of the issues that we're dealing with in our world today, they wouldn't exist because our leaders would have involved all of us in finding the solutions to the problems that we face. And they would have inspired us to work collaboratively on implementing those solutions. I think we find ourselves in a time in this world right now, whether it's in our city, our state, our country, the world, where good, true leaders, honest leaders, those who lead from the heart, they're getting harder and harder to find. And it's unfortunate because I think we're making it harder and harder on those people. There's constant criticism. And granted, when you're a leader, you have to expect you're going to get criticized. But the way we criticize people today is so different from when I first started in politics and going back to 1999. Social media, for all the good that comes from having cell phones and social media and access to the internet, there's also the negative that comes from it. And it's unfortunate because I think that's making it harder for true leaders to want to step forward and stick their necks out and lead and know that in doing so, they're exposing not only themselves, but their family to often very personal, horrible criticism and in some cases, violence. And we've got to get away from that as a country. So I want to encourage everyone who's listening today. We need leaders. We need them in our community. We need them in our state. We need them in our country. You know, and if you feel that in within you, that you're someone who could lead and you recognize some of the traits that I described today, that they fit you, that that's the kind of leader that you are or you have been or could be, I want to encourage you to step up. Because this is a time when we need people to step up. We need real leaders. Because if we don't, and we keep having some of the folks who not only do we elect, but also that run some of our companies and businesses and our neighborhood associations and community organizations that aren't willing to listen to opposing points of view, that try and ram things down our throat, I'm just afraid it's going to get worse and things are going to get worse. So it's time that we demand more from those who want to be our leaders or are already our leaders. And it's also time that we encourage those who would make great leaders to step up and take that role. So again, I want to thank you for listening to me today. And I look forward to telling you a little bit more about some of the things that people want to hear from me in our next session. Thanks so much.